Justin.
Sup?
Yeah. Welcome to week three podcast, everyone. Go ahead, take off your shoes. It's fine.
Yeah. Kick back, so, relax, settle in. It's going to be a weird ride.
Yeah. So for those of you unfamiliar with the concept, what the hell? All right. Long and short of it is, this is our low effort podcast. This is the podcast where Justin and I just sit around and we talk about whatever comes to mind. And there's no structure. There's no planned outline. Like, I'm not speaking for Justin. I don't have a planned outline. I've just got three or four things I'm going to talk about. And whatever happens, happens. Because it's my turn.
It's not our low effort podcast. It's Things We Love podcast.
Yes. Okay, fine. It's a Things We Love. You know what it is? It's that weird antique store on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere podcast.
Yeah.
Where
there's something,
you know,
for everybody.
There's a chance you'll find something you're looking for, and there's a chance that you'll be like, "What? Why have I stopped here? Who are these people? And where did my car keys go?"
You might find 36 boxes of old Good Housekeeping magazines that aren't, you know, don't do anything for anybody. Or you might find a kick-ass sword.
Yeah.
You just don't know until you try.
Well, today we are
the Antiques Roadshow.
Today we're looking at a little phenomenon that I like to refer to as, and then there's that guy. Let me explain. Are you familiar with the Itchy and Scratchy and Poochy show?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Season 8, episode 14 of The Simpsons. There was, it's a largely self-referential episode in which the Itchy and Scratchy show got a new character because reasons, and the character completely stood out from everything that had been done before, and Poochy eventually died on his way to his home planet. And it was great. Probably one of my favorite quotes from that episode is, whenever Poochy is not on camera, everyone should be asking, "Where is Poochy?" during the writing brainstorming of it.
Oh.
Yeah, good one there. But for those who've been following along on our Discord, you know that I recently spent a while working in a comic book warehouse. And while doing so, I came across... Yeah, weird.
I guess I should pay more attention to the Discord.
Yeah, you really should. And I came across Excalibur, the Omnibus, Volume 1.
Right.
And this was a variant cover. So you've got all of these super tough-looking mutants. You've got Wolverine, because he's on every cover. You got Kitty Pryde. You got Colossus. You got Nightcrawler. Captain Britain. And they're all charging toward the camera. And then you've got what I can best describe as a floating metal Kermit the Frog head with blue eyes, who's also charging right at the camera, and you go, and then there's that guy.
Who is that guy? Because I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, I'm so happy that you asked, because get ready for a ride.
I am buckled in, my seat pack is in the upright position, and my tray is up.
This is going to be the longest one in the four examples I have today.
Oh, God.
So, okay, the little robot head is named Widget. He appeared in the first issue of Excalibur. He was created by, and I am not kidding you, a mutant genius known as Tweedledope.
Okay.
Tweedledope is able to create highly advanced machines by just mashing components together at random.
Now,
and Widget, and Widget is made from a robotic shell, the better part of a radio, and some canned beans.
Wait, what was that last one?
Canned beans. And it's not bushes. It's not the good stuff.
Oh, no beautiful bean footage.
No beautiful bean footage. And the weirdest thing is, like, so he just kind of like smashes it together. He sets it aside. He walks away. And then the robot opens its eyes and is self-aware. And I'm surprised that the first thing out of its mouth wasn't, "Why?
Father, give me legs."
Father, give me legs. Yeah. But this thing can fly around, and apparently it has an appetite for metal and garbage, and it was friends
and
with...
blood.
It was friends with several of the mutants. It eventually became part of the team.
But it's not
for
a
reasons.
Mutant.
No. Well, Herbie wasn't fantastic either, but he was part of the Fantastic Four.
Oh, for a second there, I thought you meant the love bug.
Oh my God, no. No, I'll get...
Sorry, now I'm picturing Mr. Fantastic, the Invisible Woman, Ben Grimm, the Thing, and Herbie the Love Bug.
Well, if that isn't a thing that should happen...
Oh.
I mean, hey, technically, that could happen anytime Disney wants it to.
Yeah.
That could happen.
And it
right.
should,
but,
because reasons.
So, Widget was around for more than 5 years.
Oh.
More than 5 years of issues. At one point, they opened him up to see just what's inside him. He had no real internal circuitry, just still some baked beans, an apple core, and a rubber spider. Yeah. Okay, so that's who Widget is. But here's the interesting part. This is where the roller coaster goes for a deep dive. You remember Days of Future Past?
Vaguely.
Okay, yeah. Days of Future Past is where, you know, in the future, mutants have been hunted by sentinels that have gone wild, and they've killed humans, too, because they came to the conclusion that mutants are human beings.
Yeah. Unlike humanity, and they saw the truth.
Yeah. And the surviving X-Men have to send, you know, one of their own back into the past. And she is chased by Nimrod, a super sentinel from the future. Well, guess who Nimrod is?
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's a thing that happens.
I think I own that. I don't remember that.
Well, it's made even messier because when that story kind of comes to an end, it was Kate Pryde who went to the past and inhabited Kitty Pryde in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Pryde's consciousness eventually went into Widget, creating a newer, deadlier Widget because, of course, this one actually had limbs. And, so it's like half Nimrod and half Kitty Pryde from the future.
And then there's this guy.
And then there's this guy. Speaking of this, guys, while we're on the subject of Marvel, I've got two. I'm playing fair. I got two from DC and two from Marvel today.
Fair enough.
All right. Second one in Marvel. I came across this while I was over on the single issue side. They have a huge collection of back issues in the warehouse. And you know the Spider-Man villain White Rabbit?
No.
Okay.
I actually don't.
All right. Think like the rabbit from the Lewis Carroll, you know, Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
But played by someone who bought a Halloween costume that said Sexy Rabbit from Spirit Halloween.
Oh, God.
Right?
Okay.
And she's not the topic of this next entry. I came across an issue of Marvel.
Mental note made for a long box.
White Rabbit, yeah. I came across an issue of Spider-Man. It was Marvel Team Up. You remember Marvel had that book, Marvel Team Up. It was usually used to promote The Thing and no one else, because they wanted The Thing to have his own book so damn bad. There is an issue of Marvel Team Up where White Rabbit is standing and she's got like a couple mounted heads behind her, like Trophy Hunter. The head on the right is of Spider-Man. The head on the left is of a giant frog. Let's talk about Frogman.
Frogman.
Or should I say the fabulous Frogman?
Okay.
Yeah, Eugene Patillo. His dad was an inventor. Discovered electrically powered coils that, you know, Vincent could take and turn into a superhero persona. And he's like, you know what? Spider's already taken. Captain America is pretty cool. I'm going to be a frog. And so you've got all of these superheroes on these covers of books, but like the best one is in Secret Invasion. Secret Invasion, that was where we found out that the Skrulls had been hiding among the Marvel Universe for quite a while. Well, there had to be an infiltrator to spy on the Skrulls so the Marvel heroes would know. And who did they turn to? Frogman. Frogman was also there to help the Avengers during the Spider Island situation. He saved the UN at one point. But all I can think of is this cover of Spider-Man, Frogman team up. And, oof. You know, Spider-Man actually encouraged him at one point to work with Toad from the mutant villains because...
Oh, God.
You looked it up, didn't you?
I did.
You looked it up.
Oh, yeah. God.
The suit, he looks like a giant fucking frog with those yellow dishwashing gloves on.
Oh my God, I can see his eyes and the mouth. This looks... Are those springs on his feet?
Those are springs on his feet, yes.
This looks like the
this
love...
Guy.
This looks like the love child of a... D-list Masters of the Universe villain and a... D-list Ninja Turtle character.
Yeah. His first appearance, September of 1982, a month after I was born. I don't. Just look at him. And if you're finding this episode, go to our Discord. I am going to post photos of each and every one of these wackos for you.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't have a lot to say about Frogman because what else can you say? It's a guy who dresses like a frog and he thinks that's a good idea.
I'm looking at a picture of Frogman's action figure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fully articulated. And you can see the face inside the mask, the eyes, and you can see the seams and the wrinkles in the costume that he's wearing. It's like a really good quality, low-budget thing. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, let's move to a more recent one. Batman, Superman, World's Finest. This book just launched. I've picked up the first couple of issues. So has Chad. It's good. And the cover doesn't really belie anything. You see Superman, you see Batman. You know, it's Doom Patrol's part of it. Don't worry, we'll get around the Doom Patrol eventually. But what it's really what's implied that caused me to do some digging to find another, and then there's this guy. At one point, Supergirl and Robin have to go into the past. And this is back when Dick Grayson was Robin. We get this lovely point in time where Supergirl is carrying a very pouty teenage Dick Grayson before they get into an argument at one point having to do with, like, you know, how could I have known that they would have brought a monkey? That kind of thing.
Okay.
We never find out what the argument was about other than that happened. But they are sent back in time to recruit some magical warriors, and it's heavily implied that they're going to pick up someone that becomes known as Monkey Prince.
Monkey Prince.
Go ahead and you just go ahead and Google Monkey Prince, because Monkey Prince made his first debut in DC Festival of Heroes, the Asian Superhero Celebration number one. Yes, that was a mouthful. But he's a guy who's also a monkey and knows kung fu. And I don't have to say anything else about that.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Then there's that guy. But really, aside from Widget, what prompted today's episode is one character that has been around for more than 50 years.
Oh, Lord.
You're familiar with the Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
Heroes from the future.
Uh-huh.
Great Warriors. Saturn Girl. Lightning Lad. And I'm looking at a group photo of them all. Mm-hmm. Superboy's there because they went to the past to get Superboy for whatever reason.
Yeah, Brainiac 5.
And in the center of all of these fit, strong, muscular teens is someone who, you know, those inflatable suits that make you look five times your size?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Let's talk about Bouncing Boy.
Yes.
And then there's that guy.
And then there's that guy.
He's been around for a while. His power is essentially to expand his mass so he can bouncy bounce.
Uh-huh. The only one on this list that I know.
And if you Google Bouncing Boy, you'll know. But like, just, I was pitching this idea to another friend, and she started singing the "One of These Things Is Not Like the Other" song. Because you've got matter-eating lad who can eat anything, which could at least come in handy. And then you got a guy whose superpower came from drinking a soda that made him super bulbous.
Maybe that's what happened to me.
Here's the thing. And this is wild. 2 years ago, when 2 years ago, when Brian Michael Bendis took over Legion of Superheroes, because, of course, Bendis, they decided to come up with a way to justify Bouncing Boy's existence. How did they do it? Well, when we get a flashback to his tryout in front of the three founding Legionnaires, we find out he is a level 8 metahuman. What does that mean? Nobody fucking says. In fact, Bouncing Boy himself is just as surprised as they are. Essentially, it means that, you know, he has great control over his speed, his invulnerability. He's impervious to pain. And the best part, he has a doctorate. Guy's a freaking PhD. It's Dr. Bouncing Boy to you. In metaphysical gateway science, which, again, they don't explain what the hell that means. But him bounce good and him smart.
Although I have to say, Dr. Bounce sounds like somebody I would have covered in a long box.
Dr. Bounce. Two honorable mentions for and then there's that guy. The box art to Quest for Camelot, the movie, on DVD.
Yeah.
You already know. Just Devin and Cornwall, the two-headed dragon. Just why?
Reasons.
And the movie poster to Spider-Man Homecoming, which has god dang near everybody on the cover. You've got Tom Holland in center, followed by a large Spider-Man on the upper left, Tony Stark in the upper right, and in the lower left is Iron Man. Michael Keaton appears twice, once as Vulture and once as, you know, Michael fucking Keaton. You've got Zendaya there as MJ. You've got Aunt May. You've got the city of New York. And at the very bottom, so tiny I thought for a second it was Mayhem from the Allstate commercials, it's Happy. Happy Hogan in a suit and tie. Because nothing screams action blockbuster like Jon Favreau in a suit and tie. Why? So yeah, I have, surprisingly, I've ranted for 21 minutes about, and then there's that guy. So, yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah, yeah. So if you have any, and then there was that guy examples, you can leave them on our Discord. You can find the link to it at geekcavepodcast.com. You can find our other podcasts, the normal one, the Geek Cave Podcast, at the beginning of the month. You want me to watch what on the second? Yeah, you want me to watch what on the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month? Although you get all of these podcasts a day early if you're on the Discord. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. And we got stuff on YouTube, too. Deep Cave Plays and Retromantics. YouTube taking a bit of a hiatus because it turns out, moving halfway across the country, it's very difficult to hang on to certain schedules. Who knew?
Yeah, not me.
Yeah. I don't, do you have any and then there was that guy examples that I'm missing?
I mean, none come to mind off top of my head. I'm sure as soon as I stop recording, I'll think of like three different ones to pop in. But no, those were good. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, please rate, subscribe on your favorite podcast services. And I believe it's your turn next, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
All right. Bye.
See ya. We'll be right back.